Well, good morning, everyone. Are we staying cool? Trying, yes, yes. Well, I promise you, this is not going to be a hellfire and damnation sermon today. We'll keep it cool. In fact, I'm not going to try to give you some kind of dissertation on what the Trinity means. It's just, that's one of those things I've learned over the 30-some years of ministry that it just isn't going to happen. We can just say sometimes that there are things that go on when it comes to our relationships with God that we just can't explain or that sometimes go beyond our understanding. But I think there's some basic things that we can get from this, and especially as we look at the second reading for today. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to tell you a little story about a teacher and her student, a kindergarten teacher and her student. And it was wintertime, and she was getting the kids ready to go home, and she was helping little Johnny put on his boots, and it was a real struggle. I mean, she was pushing, and he was trying to push his foot in there, and she's trying to, you know, yank it on there, and it took a little while, and finally, after all this effort, they got it on. And she kind of let out a whew. And a few moments later, Johnny says, "They're on the wrong feet." So then they take the shoes off, and it's just as bad getting them off as it's getting them on. It takes them a few moments to do that. And so she switches them around, and instead of, you know, kind of telling Johnny, "You should have told me in the first place they are on the wrong feet, you know, that we had the wrong one for the wrong foot," she just went ahead and did it. It was very patient. So they finally get it on after a few moments, and he says, "These aren't my shoes." Now she's getting a little exasperated, and again, they take a great effort to pull them off, and that's when Johnny says, "My mother made me wear my brother's shoes." And this time she rolls her eyes to herself, and she tries to put those shoes back on, and when they finally get those boots on, she's like, "Okay, we got everything, your boots, your coat, where are your mittens?" "They're in the toes of my boots." You know, there is a way that people can kind of try our patience, isn't there? There are things that sometimes, you know, that are obvious that we'd like to, for, you know, if there's an issue, you need to share them. And sometimes it doesn't happen. And that's where we as Christians need to show the best light. Even though, you know, we're kind of, our patience is being pulled to its extremes, and that there are times and moments that we really feel like shouting or yelling, you know, it doesn't get very far. If anything, it only makes for a memorable incident in the sense that that child or that adult will always remember if something terrible was said to them, something in anger. Today, I want to suggest to you that when we talk about this amazing thing about God, that we listen again to this these last words of Paul to the Corinthians in his second letter. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Did you hear what Paul was saying? This was a community that really was stressing out Paul. Because you see, somewhere in between that first letter and the second letter, there was another letter that apparently went out that had a lot of stern things to say to the Christian community at Corinth. They were trying Paul's patience. And yet, Paul, because his love for this community was such that he needed to share with them and expound with them and teach them about the Lord's love for them. You see, the community at Corinth wasn't much different than the community here at St. Luke's or any other church that you wish to choose. Because you see, in the midst, there are people who truly love God, people who truly want to worship him, but there's also that human side that goes on in relationships where there are egos that get involved and dissension, and sometimes people who feel things should go a little differently than what perhaps maybe we had been taught or that maybe we just think we know better. And it really tried Paul's patience. What a relief it must have been for him at the conclusion of this letter to get to that point, to be able to say about the fact of greeting each other with a holy kiss. To speak of these words of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice that he just doesn't say, be with you. He says, with all of you. No one is exempt from this gift that God gives to us in such a various and wide and amazing way. Nowhere else in all of Scripture do we see Paul or anyone else proclaiming this kind of a saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Here we see how in very three distinct ways that God comes to us through grace, love, and the gift of the communion of the Holy Spirit. I want to requote you this from a passage that comes from Eugene Peterson's, it's a paraphrase, called The Message. And he says, this is his paraphrase, and that's about it, friends. Be cheerful. Keep things in good repair. Keep your spirits up. Think in harmony. Be agreeable. Do all that, and the God of love and peace will be with you for sure. Greet one another with a holy embrace. And all the brothers and sisters here say hello. Such simple words, and yet powerful ones. As we listen to this phrase at the conclusion about Jesus' grace and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, perhaps maybe we understand what grace is. Hopefully by now we should. God's love that's freely given. The idea of being forgiven. We know what love is. A love that has no conditions. A love that in spite of the things that we have done, that God continues to pour out upon us. And then we get into that spirit thing. What's this thing about the communion of the Holy Spirit? Perhaps what Paul is saying is that we are part of the community of the Holy Spirit that empowers. That which gives us the things that are necessary in order to do what God has asked us to do. Think about it for a minute. When have you experienced the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? I experience it every time that we gather together and when we have that word of confession. And even though we may say those words over and over again, sometimes it just seems like it doesn't get past that denseness that we often have. And then all of a sudden, it's as if God opens up our hearts and our minds to recognize that indeed, that all the things that I have done in this life that are not worthy, things that I have caused others hurt and pain, things that I have put upon myself. And when one struggles in life, when one seems to want to find a direction, when things seem to be going in so many different ways, but not the way that you would like it. When you're in the midst of a divorce, when you're in the midst of questioning your calling by God, when you're in the midst of questioning your own self-worth, and suddenly, somehow, some way, that grace of God pours down upon you, that opens your heart to this awesome experience of God's grace in your life. I'll say some more about that when we get to the Holy Spirit. The love of God. Grace, you know, is for everyone. Grace is for everyone. It's not just exclusively belongs to the Lutherans. It doesn't exclusively belong to the Roman Catholics. It doesn't exclusively belong to the Baptists or anybody else you want to name. It's for everyone. As is the love of God. The very thing that we often hunger and need and desire, and we oftentimes look for other means of where that love comes from when it's always been right here. It's always been right here. We know that God never leaves us. We know that God promises to be with us forever. I've experienced that love in so many different ways in my life that it's too many to mention. But I'll tell you some of the powerful ones. One is being at the birth of my two sons. Absolutely incredible to see those little faces and that little body that you're holding, and to realize how God has created this life. And to remember what the psalmist says about knowing me even before I was born, that he knit my innermost parts together, and seeing how they're all formed in this unique and amazing creation in which God has given. I've experienced it in the power of nature, in the midst of standing in the redwood forests and feeling very small. And for me to feel that way, it's got to be pretty amazing. I've seen it in the midst of a group of Boy Scouts who were trekking for 50 miles into the Adirondacks for a week, and being able to have fellowship with one another and to experience together that awesomeness of God's creation, but also the gift of fellowship, the gift of being able to relate to one another, and the gift of being able to watch and see these young boys turn into men. That gift is for everyone. And then I've also seen how the Holy Spirit has empowered others, and how the Holy Spirit has empowered me, how I have been a recipient of that power. As I mentioned to you at the beginning, in understanding what this grace is about and going through several different crises all at the same time, and somehow, and I know I've mentioned this before, but it's well worth sharing again, is that somewhere, somehow, the Holy Spirit led the CEO of the nursing home where I was chaplain to tell me that I needed to take my continuing education because it had not been used, and if I didn't use it, it would be lost, and I probably wouldn't get it again for the following year. I don't care what you do, just do it. And so I looked through all the ELCA web pages of retreats that were available, and that led me to other pages for the Presbyterian Church USA and a few others, and I found two things, and the one in particular changed my life, and I had no idea what I was about to embark in. And it led me to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I only chose that because I knew New Mexico. My aunt was there, and I loved that area. I loved the whole, the Pueblo Indians, the relics, all that exploring, and just the beauty of the landscape in New Mexico. But I didn't even know anything about Jesus of the Celts. And that's when I had an encounter with a gentleman by the name of John Philip Newell, who several of you have been introduced to through a book that I've been encouraging others to read. And it was in that week's period that the power of the Spirit that was shared by him to me, and not just in a personal way, because he wasn't just talking with me, he was talking with a whole group of us together, but it was something that helped me to understand that indeed that this gift that God gives to us renews us. That we are given an opportunity to live and to overcome our mistakes, to overcome the things that perhaps have shamed us or we have shamed ourselves, that helps us to grow in our lives, that helps us to come to understanding that indeed that we can hear the heartbeat of God, just as John, the beloved disciple, who leans his head against the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper. And that heartbeat was there for me. I have seen where people have talked about experiences where others have been placed in the path of another person that's changed their lives. I have seen where people who have spoken words at the right moment, at the right time, and I can only explain it in the sense that I don't know where those words came from, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. I've experienced those things on both sides. And I want to assure you that each of these gifts in which Paul proclaims to the people in Corinth are here for us through all the church throughout the world, that we may be able to proclaim his word to all. And today, that we should be bold. We should be bold in our confession, that we know that we can come before the altar as we receive this gift of bread and wine, this gift of God's Son's body and blood, that Jesus is there. Jesus is present, giving us all we need in order to live this day and the upcoming days that we encounter each other. It is there to empower us in order that we are able to face those things that run contrary to the teachings of the church, to the teachings of Jesus. When we know that hatred runs rampant throughout the world, and that is not the way in which we have been called to live. And we need to call it for what it is. We can't make excuses. We need to be able to learn to reach out to each other in spite of the differences in which we have. And that includes even differences in faith. For God has created us all. And I believe that the words in which Paul speaks this day isn't just exclusively for Christians, but it's for the entire world. There is power in this message. And I wonder how the Corinthians received these words when they read them from Paul. In a desire to find healing among themselves, in a desire to find some form of unity that God has created within them so that they may proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, and take this word to the world. So today, we hear them once again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.